We will be coming to this material largely in the ongoing discussion about open access after the afternoon tea break that will be opened up by Benoit and a discussion on these issues. I do want to make one small point about this slide at the request of somebody, actually. Where you say Australia is still to be decided, there would be people who in the room who would like to point out that Australia claims to have operational separation. But the severity of that operational separation in Australia is extremely, extremely weak and is nothing compared to that which has been imposed on Telecom. We've already had accounting separation, and so this was supposedly meant to be something more, but it turned out to be pretty weak. So that is something that Telecom does whip bear. Now look, if there's someone who's got a specific technical question that says there was something in there I just wanted explained, and what Murray, which I find extraordinary, and Ralph, which is equally extraordinary, but just very quick questions on the technical and then we can come back to the rest later on. Murray, can you please stand, because evidently you don't get seen on the webcast, and so wave to the people on the webcast and ask your question.
Thank you very much. Chris, I was just interested, you made an assumption in your presentation that a lot of the machine-to-machine communications would be done over the wide area mobile networks. But there are many substitutions, of course. And we've been working recently on issues of sensors on farms, and we've found that the cellular networks aren't necessarily useful because, one, they don't have coverage, and two, they're fairly expensive. And we're getting into fans or farm area networks with cheap technology at the farm and using whatever backhaul we can get, often satellite. So obviously those market figures relate to a total market, not to a substitution of technologies.
Chris?
Thanks for the comment.
Ralph?
Thanks. It's obviously the former wireless engineer's question time. Chris, I'm also interested in your perspective, your concluding comment about the relative, advantage that you see LTE currently has over WiMAX. And I just wondered whether that was a conclusion for, let's call it, wide area mass market kind of a scenario, or were you talking about more generally? Because there's a lot of interest in New Zealand about in WiMAX to deal to some of our rural access challenges. So I'm interested what that means for sort of mass market, whether it means WiMAX is going to be kind of a niche, hotspotty kind of technology like Wi-Fi is today.
Yeah, good question. I'm being quite general. I think WiMAX will go ahead, but I don't think it's going to be in any way it's going to challenge LTE. As far as from an economies of scale perspective, LTE is going to have factors of 10 to 100 more subscribers than WiMAX. And I think that's mainly because that its early market advantage really isn't being, it's really not being deployed en masse. And where it has been deployed, it actually isn't doing that well. If you talk to the guys at Packet One up in Malaysia, they're not selling a lot of services.
You weren't saying that a month ago when you worked for Unwired, Chris.
Yeah, but since then that's because I was wearing a specific hat, wasn't I? Couldn't be impartial.
There is an interesting point there too, Ralph, which is Chris really started talking about 802.16e because it's really fascinating how the WiMAX community moved right past D into E, because the wireless proposition with mobility is so much more relevant to people. But I think we've still got lots of people deploying 802.16d in those kinds of environments, even in the unlicensed spectrum. So I think there's a bit of a hedge there about the fixed versus the mobile version.
With the E version, I think it still has a place as far as a fixed application, and I think it probably is better than D because Just because you're going to be able to select from multiple vendors for CPE, the D stuff really locked into the vendors, you know, the equipment vendors CPE. Whereas with E, you'll be able to pick and choose CPE, and you can get better pricing, and that's actually going to make it, from an economics perspective, it'll help business cases on E.
Yeah, fair enough. At the back there, one question, and that'll probably be it, unless there's anyone else with a burning question.
Hi, Rod.
Rod Ingalls from Whoosh Wireless. We've been evaluating LTE and WiMAX technology, and certainly some vendors would agree with Chris's comments, and a lot of vendors wouldn't. And some operators, the likes of Google, Time Warner, Clearwire, Russian operators, Indian operators, wouldn't agree with Chris's comments, and some operators, Verizon incumbents, would agree with Chris's comments. So I think it's a bold move to take an absolute stance as to who's going to win the WiMAX LTE showdown. Intel certainly thinks that it's got legs. People like Huawei, there's a huge amount of investment going into it. And I think the next few years will be interesting to see just how it plays out. But there's a lot of bets on the two horses being placed right now, and from what everything I read and everyone I speak to, the jury's out. Spectrum's got a big issue, and Clearwire in the States have got 100 megahertz of spectrum in the 2.5 area. No one else has got that sort of spectrum in the States, so I think we'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah, and I agree, Clearwire is a clear exception, I suppose. I'll try and use a parallel. If we look at the CDMA world, it did get a bit of a run, but at the end of the day, there's been a quiet movement off that. You don't hear of anybody doing UMB in the CDMA world, right? Verizon are going to LTE. I just think that I can use an analogy and it's more gut feeling, and it's driven by, you know, economic conditions too, you know, that sort of colour my view. But hey, I like to be confrontational.
Yes, John, you want to say one word? Or more than one?
Do I need to push anything?
Yeah, you push.
No, this one. Oh, right. I think you mentioned Huawei, didn't you? Because the other day I was looking at Huawei, and they had an illustration of LTE versus WiMAX in the Asia Pacific region, and their diagram showed LTE massively, about four times the growth to 2015.
But they are equally committed to WiMAX as they are to LTE,
yes.
Which is the important
point.
That's
just their projection.
Made. Okay, look, unless there's a really pressing question, because I'd like to keep us going and let you have an actual decent afternoon tea so you're refreshed for our one last final surge. You're pointing as a question, sorry. Mr. Darling,
very quick comment, if I could. It seems to me that what you've got is, to a large extent, different technologies, but you also have to take into account the fact that regulation has largely been based on the fixed telephone network and has carried through to the sort of thing that John has described, whereas there hasn't been the same degree of regulation on the mobile and network. So I think we need to look in the future in many countries to find that there is an equal regulatory environment, otherwise we make a technology decision which is based on the regulatory environment and not really based on the technology.
You're preempting the conversation from afternoon tea. But thank you for that observation. Okay, so we'll break for afternoon tea and reconvene in here at 3 o'clock so that we can continue on. Please join me in thanking these two fine gentlemen.